I titled this sermon, Ask. I don't know how many know that Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. He prayed a lot. In fact, he prayed constantly, and we know that the scripture says he prayed at night. We said he went into the wilderness. He would go away into quiet places to pray. But Jesus not only prayed, but Jesus taught prayer. And that's the scripture we're going to go. We're going to go to Luke chapter 11, if you'll turn there in your Bibles. We're going to look at starting with verse 1, and we're going to see that Jesus taught, and one of his disciples happens to ask him as they observed him praying, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And we also know that Jesus encouraged his followers to pray, and so that's where we're going to pick up here today in Luke 11. I want to use the acronym ASK, ASK, SEEK, and KNOCK today. We're going to begin a short series on praying. I know that you know all about prayer. I think we talk more about prayer than we do praying. And so I'm here to encourage you in the next few weeks that God wants us to pray. And I don't know if you will agree with what I'm about to say, but praying is about asking. That's what prayer is. When we come to God, it's about asking. And we're going to talk about three levels of intensity in asking in this ask, seek, and knock. And this week we're just going to focus on ask. And I believe as we look at these three aspects of praying, asking, seeking, and knocking, we begin to understand that there's a maturity that comes with praying. It comes with our spiritual life. We are warned against praying rote prayers, repetitional prayer. Many of us probably grew up in some denominational churches where liturgy was part of what was going on, and we said the same prayers week in, week out. And so Jesus comes along as the disciples are familiar with rote prayers because as Jews they would repeat the same prayers in their ceremonies. Jesus comes along and is praying differently, and it kind of gets their attention, and they say, Lord, teach us to pray like that. And so I just want you to understand that there's all three of the aspects of asking, seeking, and knocking are probably going on simultaneously in our life. There are times in our life where we're asking God for something. There are times in our life where we're seeking God for some things. And there's some things that we are continually knocking at his door saying, hey, Lord, I haven't seen this yet, but we want to see this happen. And so these things are going on in our prayer life. Some things are happening quickly. Others are taking time for us to see an answer. And so as we go through these coming weeks, we're going to kind of get an understanding of what Jesus was talking about by asking, seeking, and knocking. Our prayer is affected by our needs. How many know that? There are all types of needs. There are different size needs. There are importance in the needs that we have. We're talking about the depth of relationship that we are called to be dependent upon Jesus Christ. How many know that? Amen. We are dependent. And so it's a process sometimes we have to go through, even in our prayer life, for us to see some things happen. And of course, there's persistence. There's that determination. There's that tenacity to hang on until we actually see the answer. So if you would, we're going to begin at chapter 11 of the book of Luke. And if you read verse 1, it's going to be up there on the screen. Jesus is praying one day. One of his disciples, probably John or Andrew, because they were disciples of John the Baptist, probably came to him and asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And if you look at verse 2 through 4, you will see that it's an abridged version of the Lord's Prayer. But we want to begin focusing on verse 5. And they just opened the gate flood for Jesus to talk about prayer. All he had was ask for him to teach us how to pray. And Jesus takes advantage of it and goes on and on and on, just like a preacher. You know, he begins and he just keeps preaching on and on. And so, of course, Jesus begins to teach on prayer. Not so much the words to pray, but how to pray and the goal of praying, what we're shooting for, what we want to accomplish in prayer. So if you look at verse 5, and it says, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we're going to look at the first level here of intensity when it comes to prayer. We're going to look at the word ask. And in verse 9, Jesus said, so I say unto you. So we need to understand here that Jesus is coming to them as a teacher. He's coming as an authority today. He's not coming as the Son of Man, but he is speaking as the Son of God here. He's saying to them, ask and it will be given to you. And so he is not only coming in authority, but he is making a promise to his disciples. He says, there, I say unto you, ask and it will be given to you. Verse 10, for everyone who asks, what? Receives. And so we have the promise. Asking is very simple. It's something we do every day with everybody around us. We are always asking questions. And so asking is basically very simple. It's asking basically for people to meet our needs or to meet our desires. And so we understand that there are different kinds of prayers. But I want you to understand, no matter what word the Bible uses as describing prayer, the implications are the same. It's about asking. Whether we name them supplication, requests, intercessions, petitions, entreaties, the Bible uses all these different words, but yet they're the same thing. It means we're asking God to do something in behalf of us. So this word ask is basically a present continuous action verb, which means asking, seeking, and knocking. It means something that we continuously do. How many know you don't always get what you want the first time you ask? When we pray to God, we don't always receive. Sometimes we do, but many times we do not. So what he's saying here in this scripture is keep on asking. Keep on asking. If you don't get it the first time, keep on asking. So it's not a one-shot deal when we ask. We are to come before him with shameless audacity, which means being persistent. It means coming before him and consistently knocking on his door. Excuse me. So in the parable, he says in verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up, your neighbor, and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So Jesus is illustrating here what it means to be shameless. We are to approach him in a shameless manner, just like the neighbor went to his neighbors and said, hey, I need this. How many know there's no shame in asking the right person? There's been a lot of things needed done around our house, and I've been after a number of people. Some people I've given up on, but others I have asked. We needed gutters for a year and a half. I've been calling people, and I've been bothering a guy to come and do it, and finally he came and did it. I've been asking a guy for a year now to come and excavate my yard, so now I have a mud hole in the backyard. I'm happy. I'm excited. We needed some trees trimmed around our house. And of course, no one answers the phone the first time, so you have to keep after. But it's asking the right people. It's being after the right people that can do the job. And so this is what Jesus is talking about here. One of the things I learned about getting a job that I really wanted was my dad kind of said to me, if you want a job, bug them to death. How many knows that works? If you keep after someone long enough, they're going to finally say, hey, okay, stop bugging me, I'll hire you. And so it works. So there is no shame in asking the right person. And Many times we have been taught growing up that we are not to ask for anything. And that has gone into our relationship with God. Let me give you an illustration. Karen, as she was growing up, would spend time at her grandmother's. And they would travel around throughout the state of New Mexico building highways. And so they moved. They lived in a trailer. They even had a trailer church that they would move and haul from place to place throughout the state wherever they were working. And so for a week or two, they would go out there and visit them. And each time they would go, their mother would warn them, do not ask your grandmother for anything. But she was very clever. She found a way around that. If they went to the store, she would go and ask her grandma, Grandma, do we need some of this? She didn't ask her grandma for anything. But we have come to God in that same way where we really don't ask, or we kind of feel like maybe we're asking too much of God. That maybe we feel like that's all we do when we come into the presence of God is ask, 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 ask. But Jesus is teaching us here in this scripture, we are to approach God shamelessly when we want something, when we need something in our life. It's called shameless audacity. We need to keep in mind when we're asking God that we are not a slave groveling at the feet of a master. We have been raised to be sons and daughters of the King. We are not adhering to a code of being neighborly. How many know that as a neighbor, we are to reach out to minister, to help our neighbors, to do that? That's not what we're talking about here. Keep in mind when we're asking God, it's not like hitting up a close friend. How many know that sometimes some people in our lives can do certain things well, and maybe that's the need in your life at the moment, you hit them up. And many times when we need something done around the church or around my house, I call one person. Sorry, Libby, it's not you. It's Butch. And there are times that I call Butch not asking for anything, but I have to clarify before I begin the conversation. Butch, I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just calling about this or that. So we're not talking about that here today. It's not like even in this parable, a child and a father relationship here, that if you ask your father for something, he's not going to give you something else. Because when we look at these relationships that I just mentioned here, these relationships may not be willing or able to help. How many know that? That they are limited in scope in being able to help us. But we have a heavenly Father. And verse 13 says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, get that in your mind here today, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When we begin to look at our heavenly Father today, we see there's a willingness and an ableness to be able to give us what we have need of. I would love to be Elon Musk's, one of his kids, wouldn't you? To be able to go to my father and say, hey, Dad, can I have a couple thousand? Not a couple bucks, but a couple thousand. But we're talking about somebody greater than here, than Elon Musk, who is richer and who has the ability to help us in any moment, any time, with anything we have need of. He is unlimited in his resources. But we have limited him because we don't ask him. We look in this scripture, we see only that he gives good gifts. If us fathers who kind of stumble along our way are giving good gifts, how much more will our heavenly Father? We also see in the scripture that he gives of himself. He gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit to not only be with us, but to be in us. And I like how he ends that. He says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We don't have because we don't ask. And so this is our heavenly Father who is unlimited in his ability to help us, but yet we don't come to him for help. So keep in mind that prayer and faith coincide as we come to God asking for anything. And I want you to see as we look through some scriptures here today that God has some expectations. He's not free will in it. He's not just nearly just throwing out his gifts and stuff on people. But there are some requirements as his people that we need to meet for him to answer us when we ask him for something. So there are some God rules that we need to think about as we talk about asking God for anything. I want to begin in John chapter 14. And between chapter 14 and 16 and 14, 15, and 16, seven times Jesus tells his disciples, as it's the night before he goes to the cross, he is reinforcing them there, ask me for what you need. And we're going to look at that here today. So in John 14, verse 13 and 14, he says, and I will do. Notice again, there's that authority, I will do. Not as the Son of Man, not as your teacher, but as the Son of God, as the Messiah, I will do these for you. And I will do whatever. Wow. You ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Twice he says, I will do it. And look what he says. You can ask whatever or anything in my name. Man, that opens up. That broadens things up, doesn't it, for us? I can think of a lot of things. Woo! In John chapter 15, verse 7 and 16, it says, if, so we kind of come into a condition here. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. So there's a condition here. That you are to be in relationship with me and you need my word hidden in your heart. You need to get the word of God in you because we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We need to get God's word in us. Not just quote what somebody else is saying. We're not parroting what we heard the preacher or the Sunday school teacher. But we have it in here and it's coming out of here. We're giving ammunition for the Holy Spirit to use when we need it. So if you remain in me and my words remain in you, he goes on and says, ask whatever. We got that whatever again. That's a pretty broad spectrum there. You wish. Man, there's a lot of wishes. Whatever you wish. That's good preaching. Amen. But this is the words of Jesus. This is not my words. I'm parroting Jesus' words this morning, whether you accept it or not, whether you put limitations on it or not. It's up to you this morning. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Verse 16. How many know we're not supposed to ask for frivolous things, stupid things? We'll let God tell you what they are. All right? He says, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. So, we're going to see here there's another condition here. That we are to go, and as believers, we are called to bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, the love of God, right? These are the gifts that we're supposed to share. Appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And, look what it says, so that whatever, there's a whatever again, you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So the Father enters into this now. Jesus started out with, I will do it. Now he's saying, not only will I do it, but my Father's going to do it. I don't know if you're getting this or not, but there's some good stuff here. John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24, and we're going to look at verse 26 also. It says, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Verily, truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever. You ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be complete, may be full. This is good stuff, church. So we're looking at this and he's saying, not only am I going to meet your needs, but my Father is going to meet. You don't even have to come and ask me anymore because what? He opened the door to the Father. So we have entrance into our Father. We pray and continue praying. Why? Because when we have answered prayer, what's it do? It creates joy in our life. Maybe we're not praying because we're not seeing any answers to our prayers. But we pray because why? We're seeing the answers and we're seeing the fulfillment of those things, and it produces joy in our life. Verse 26, he says, in that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that you will ask the Father on your behalf. Meaning that you don't have to go to me and I go to my Father. He's saying through me you can go straight to the Father. This is good stuff. This is stuff that we need to learn as individuals in our prayer closets, that we can come and ask. Not be in condemnation because we think we're asking too much. But this is a promise that he's given us. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, we quote that quite a bit, but I'm going to take a liberty here today. Take out the word wisdom and put something else in there. Whatever you need in your life. Are any of you lacking health, patience? Are you lacking in love? Are you lacking in money? Whatever your need may be here this morning, okay, it says if any of you lack wisdom or whatever you need, you should ask who? Ask God. Who gives what? Generously. He's not a skinflint. He's not as tight as bark, okay? He's a generous God. To all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I like that. God is a God that does not find fault when we lack whatever we need in our life. The Bible says he will not break a broken reed, that he will not snuff out our flame. That's what the Bible says. He's there to encourage us, help us, strengthen us, heal us. Whatever we need, that's what he wants to do for us. Our lack, God is not pointing out the lack in our life. He is not condemning us for the lack in our life. He wants to be our provider. He wants us to trust him. So he gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when, and this is the question, when are we praying? When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. I'm just giving you these scriptures to kind of reinforce what I'm trying to tell you here this morning. That we are called to come before God to ask him for things. James 4, 2. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. How many know it's good to have desires? And how many know it's good to covet godly things? There are some people here that operate in the spiritual realm with God that I kind of desire to see in my own life, that I covet. There are areas that they are operating in. They may have a better understanding and hearing God's voice than I do. They may be operating in gifts. And I desire as a pastor to operate in those things. I covet those things. Not in a negative sense, but in a positive sense. He said, you desire, but you do not have. So what's he saying here? When we don't have it, sometimes what we do, if we're not operating in it, what do? We judge the other person. We criticize the other person. You do not have because you do not ask God. So maybe it's time when, if those things are not operating in our life and we're not experiencing those things, maybe we should go into our prayer closet and say, hey, God, I would like to experience that myself. I don't want just them doing it. I want to do it. I want to be a participant. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. So why are we asking? We need to be careful that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Let's just say sometimes we're asking because our ego and our pride. You know, it's an ego thing. I'm spiritual. I mean, you know, there's sometimes people in church that think they're spiritual and more spiritual than other people. That's a reality. You know, it's not like keeping up with the Joneses or the Banks or the Hansfords. Right? That's not what it's about. It's not about idolatry. Sometimes we can make these things idols in our life. Let's ask with pure motives. He says, if you're not experiencing these things, come and ask. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything. Anything. We ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. You see the condition there. Because we're obeying Him, because we're walking with Him, because what? We're doing things that please Him. How many know it's easier to bless somebody when they're nice to you? Or when they're being nice? Isn't it hard to bless somebody that's just a nasty individual? God wants to bless you because you please Him. Like parents, you want to bless your kids and your grandkids. You just want to bless them. There's some days you don't feel like blessing them, right? You know, you still have to feed them whether you like them or not. But understand today, He wants to do this for us. 1 John chapter 5. And this is my last scripture for you that are going, oh my, not another one. All right. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Do you have a confidence to come boldly before His throne? Amen. That if, there's the condition again, if we ask what? Anything, there's that big word again, according to His will. So there is a condition. All right? We have to know the will of God. How do we know the will of God? Because we know the Word of God. Because His Word's in our heart. Because His Spirit lives within us. And we know by conviction, by direction of the Holy Spirit, what's right and what's wrong. John wrote and said, you don't need anybody to teach you because you already have the Holy Spirit in you. So He directs our life as we're walking with Him. Dear friends, if your hearts do not condemn you, if you're walking with Him, you're pure before Him, everything's working out, we have confidence before God. We should, because we're His children. And receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. I backed up. I'm on the wrong scripture. Okay, back down, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. I hope some of this is kind of sinking down in your spirit. Amen. Today we have touched on just the first level of asking, the elementary, the foundation to having a relationship with God. Yes, I know there's other aspects of prayer. There's worship, there's praise, there's thanksgiving. Yes, but the majority of our prayer life is what? Asking. It is asking, whether it's for spiritual things, whether it's for material things, for emotion, whatever the needs are. And God's not put off by that. He wants you to come to Him and ask whatever, anything. So asking, yes, is need-based or desired-based. Yes. How many know God doesn't just give us what we need? I don't know about you, but I'm blessed. I have a bunch of stuff around my house that I really don't need to survive. In fact, you can have some of it, all right? We'll box it and we'll give it to you. But need-based and desire-based sometimes are the same thing. We all have some maybe loved ones that need Jesus, right? That's a need, but it is also a desire as somebody watching them, believing and trusting that God, that they'll be saved someday. Asking is simple, but it's also conditional at where we're at with God. If we're not receiving from God like maybe we think we should, maybe we need to ask, where are we in relationship to Him? Are we walking with Him? Are we abiding in Him? Is His Word abiding in us? Do we have that confidence to come before Him, knowing that everything's okay between us? So it's about abiding in us, that friendship with God. It's about walking in obedience. It's not about a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. Some of us have set up some rules of do's and don'ts in our life and say, if I do this and if I don't do this, everything's going to be okay. That's bondage. That's religion. He writes it on our heart, right? Replace the stone and writes it on heart to flesh. He writes it here. We are to ask according to God's will. We are to ask in faith. And we're to ask the Father in Jesus' name. He gives us that access here today. God wants to hear our requests. He's not that individual say, uh-oh, now what's he want? You have some people in your life, right? Like that. We know it. We see them and it's like, uh-oh, what are they going to ask for now? But that's not the way God looks at it. God loves spoiling his kids. He really does. And he wants us to be dependent upon him. So asking is fundamental here today. It is shameless audacity. We don't have to be embarrassed to come before God, because he wants us to come before him. You know, we're in the 4th of July weekend, and it's the celebration of our nation's birthday. And just think about it. How would our country, how would our world be different if we would ask God more often to intervene? How different would our families be if we come before him and ask our church? You know, a lot of us are believing for some great things to happen, for God to move, God to pour out his Spirit, and God to use us. We come before asking. Asking, asking, asking. God is unlimited. He just doesn't have billions. He has it all. The Bible says the whole earth is his, and everybody on it, every person on it, he owns. It's his property. I don't think you're going to find anything greater than that. Father, we come before you today, and Lord, all we've learned here today is to ask, that we are to come before you, not just ask once, but to keep on asking. Some of us have stopped asking for things. Some of us have given up on some areas of our life or some situations that haven't changed, and we've gotten weary of asking. But today I ask that you would examine your own heart, your own life today, and be reminded today that God wants you to continually come before him and ask him. If you ask anything, if you ask whatever, he said, I want to do it. I want to do it. Come and ask my Father, because he wants to do it too. Maybe it's time to take some stuff that we stop praying about and put it back as a priority in our life. Maybe there's unsaved loved ones in your life, whether family or friends, that you need to begin to continue to pray and ask Jesus to do a work in their life to save them. Maybe you're in other situations, whatever they may be here today, maybe it's time. We come before him shamelessly, not embarrassed, not holding back, not deceiving yourselves or lying to ourselves, saying he doesn't want to hear about it. He already knows what I have need of. But the Bible says if we don't ask, we're not going to receive. That's what prayer is. It's asking. Praying is asking. Can you rekindle that in your heart? Some of us are struggling with times of prayer. But how many know you can converse with God all day long? It doesn't mean you have to sit there at a certain position for half an hour and pray. Pray throughout the day. Pray as you're driving. Pray as you're working. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. Ask, ask, ask. These aren't even all the scriptures about asking. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible says, every fact shall be established. Multiple times we have read here this morning that we are to ask by different authors. Lord, we have our testimony today. I pray for this body today that God, when they've given up about their health, that they've given up about their finances, they've given up about their loved ones, Lord, whatever it may be, Father, I'm asking that today that there'll be something rekindled, the fire will be rekindled in their hearts, that we have a God that wants to hear us, to come to you, to ask you for things, and believe you that the answer is coming, it's on its way. Lord, we're asking for great things. In my own life, I'm asking for things, and for this church, I'm asking for great things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not just going to ask, we're going to keep on asking. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you, just get over yourself. Ask. Humble yourself. Man, unlimited. He's unlimited. He wants to work in your behalf. He wants your joy to be full. He wants you to be happy. Amen.